Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us, great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. Well, this week we're going to talk about Ruth, or as we're going to go through the book of Ruth. So let's start here in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 11. It says, but Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters. For it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake, that the hand of Yahweh has gone out against me. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May Yahweh do so to me and more also, if anything, but death parts me from you. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So, Naomi had two sons. They were each married to women that were not from Israel. And so Naomi's actually living in the foreign land at the time. Her two sons die. So she goes to go back to Israel, and she tells her daughter-in-laws to stay behind and urges them to stay in their land. She's like, I have nothing for you. But Ruth refuses to stay behind because Ruth did not see it as Naomi had nothing to offer her. She does not seem to be interested in the fact of gaining a husband from Naomi, but seems to be more interested in the fact that she wants to serve the God of Naomi. Because you hear what she says, do not urge me to leave or return from following you. She is told to go back and serve the gods of her land by Naomi. But Ruth says, do not tell me to leave you, but I will go where you go. I am going to follow you. I am going to cling to you, and your people will be my people. Ruth decides to leave her homeland, her people, the life that she knew, to embrace Ruth's people. Then says, and your God will be my God. I'm not going back to my people. I'm not going to go back and serve the gods of my people. But instead, I'm going to cling to you. I am going to serve your God. And I will be a part of your people. And I will do that to the day that I die. So Ruth clings unto Naomi. Now in this story, we're going to see that Ruth would ultimately find a redeemer, a kinsman redeemer. And she would marry Boaz. And because of her faithfulness and her desire to cling unto Naomi, to become a part of Israel, to cling to the God of Israel, and to forsake her own land, she becomes a very key figure, you could say, in Israel. It is from her lineage that King David would come. Now let's look at Ruth chapter 4 and verse 11. Then all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. May Yahweh make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you act worthily in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem. And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that Yahweh will give you by this young woman. So upon this woman embracing the God of Israel, she receives her kinsman redeemer, and now we see the blessing. May she be like Rachel and Leah. She is grafted in to the nation of Israel. And that was God's desire. That is still God's desire today. To whomever will abandon the gods of this world and serve and worship him will be grafted in to the believing house of Israel. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, when Yahweh was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Please stay here, for Yahweh has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As Yahweh lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today Yahweh will take away your master from over you?" And he said, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for Yahweh has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As Yahweh lives, and as you yourselves live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today Yahweh will take away your master from over you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for Yahweh has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As Yahweh lives and as you yourselves live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water, and the water was parted to one side and to the other side till the two of them could go over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please, let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing, yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." As they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen," and he saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. And he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is Yahweh, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. So here we see another example of someone clinging to someone. As Ruth clung unto Naomi, we see Elisha clinging unto Elijah, even to a point where Elijah instructs Elisha, "Stay here. You stay here. I'm going away." Elijah knew that he was about to be taken up into heaven. And so he's instructing Elisha to stay behind. But Elisha refuses to stay behind. He says, "I am going to stay with you wherever you go." Twice we see Elijah tell Elisha to stay, but Elisha doesn't. Elisha is told over and over again, your master is going to be taken away from you. He says, I know, keep quiet. He stayed with Elijah. He clung unto Elijah. And because he clung unto Elijah, he received a double portion of the spirit that was upon Elijah. It's something for us to learn. You know, we need to cling to our Heavenly Father. We need to be as determined as Ruth was. We need to be determined as Elisha was, to cling unto him, to cling unto his ways, that we wouldn't allow anything to separate us from him. The enemy's desire is to separate us from him, is to distract us from him, is to cause us to lose focus of what's going on and to get attracted to something else. You know, sin is like that flashy little thing that gets your attention and can distract you from what's going on in front of you. The pleasures of our flesh, this the need to want to satisfy our flesh, the need to want to conform to the world or to fit in with the world. These are things that distract us from the goal that should be ahead of us. And that goal is to cling to Yeshua. We cling to Yeshua by knowing him, by walking with him. And we do this by walking in his commands, walking in obedience to him, walking in his spirit, resisting the temptations of the flesh, resisting conformity to the world, but being transformed into the image of Yeshua. The ultimate testimony of clinging unto Yeshua is the fact that your life has been transformed into the image of Yeshua. So we need to learn to cling to that which is good, to that which is righteous, his commands, his Torah. So look at Psalms 119 and verse 29. Put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Yahweh. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Yahweh, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. First thing we see here, the psalmist writes, put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. The first key to clinging to Yeshua, to walking as Ruth walked and as Elisha did, is for us to learn to put away the false ways, to put away the behaviors and the ways and the things that we do that are built in falsehood. And those are things that are contrary to the word of God, to his Torah and his law. So put away that which is false. Put away that which is of the world, that which is of the flesh, and graciously. Graciously is how he teaches us. Graciously teach me your law. That is what it looks like to cling unto Yeshua. Is to have a desire to put away the false ways and to graciously be taught his law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. Ruth chose to cling unto Naomi. She chose to be faithful unto Naomi, and ultimately she chose to be faithful to the God of Israel. Elisha chose to be faithful unto Elijah. We need to choose to be faithful. If we're not faithful, we can't cling unto him. We need to be faithful. Faithful. What does it mean to be faithful? It means you can be counted upon, relied upon. You are steadfast. You are dependable and reliable to be known, to be walking in his righteousness. You are faithfully, you are continually walking in obedience to his law. Faithfulness is walking in obedience to his law. Unfaithfulness is to walk in opposition to his law, thus meaning you're disobeying it, you're breaking it, you're walking in sin. Faithfulness is walking in obedience to his commandments, and you're aiming to do it all the time. You're not just picking out a few that you like and say, I'm doing enough, I don't need to do all of it. Faithfulness seeks after and searches to walk in all of his law, to be found perfect. It strives for perfection. We may not hit perfection, but yet we strive for perfection. May we run in the ways of his commandments. Let's look at Acts chapter 11 and verse 19. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose from Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who were coming on to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Yeshua. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Listen to the exhortation here. What does he tell them to do? What does he exhort them to do? To remain faithful and steadfast. We need to be reminded sometimes to remain faithful and to remain steadfast. It's so easy to get caught up in the busyness of life and everything that's going on around us that sometimes we forget to remain faithful and steadfast to him. We forget to cling to him. We forget about walking in faithfulness with him. It can be very easy in the busyness of life for him to kind of become an afterthought on certain days. And sometimes it can be difficult to remember. And that's why we need to be reminded of his commands and of his love and of his grace. Because remember, we don't walk in obedience because we're trying to earn something. We don't cling to him because we're trying to earn something. We cling to him. We obey him because he first loved us. And because he first loved us, our hearts are moved to want to walk with him, to want to please him, and to have that communion with him. But sometimes we need to be exhorted to remain faithful, to remain steadfast. That means to be unwavering. It means to not forget his commands. It means not to decide that today I'm not going to follow this command. I'm just going to do my own thing today. That is to waver. But we need to remind ourselves to be faithful to him and steadfast unto him. To cling unto him and not to let go. Let's look at Romans chapter 11 and verse 13. Speaking of how Ruth became as Rachel and Leah. To those of the nations who choose to cling to the God of Israel, who choose to remain faithful and steadfast before him. See, it starts with us confessing Yeshua as our Lord and Savior, because he is the only one who can take away our sins. He's the only one who can pardon us for our sins and to cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. He is the one who brings forgiveness. And upon receiving forgiveness from him, now he circumcises our hearts and gives us a heart that has a desire to walk with him and to be faithful to him, to be steadfast unto him, and to cling unto him. But we need to remember to remind ourselves, to encourage ourselves, to exhort ourselves, to always remain steadfast and faithful in covenant with him. And this invitation is to the whole world, and to whomever will believe will become a part of believing Israel. So let's look at Romans chapter 11, verse 13. Now I'm speaking to you Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what would their acceptance mean but life from the dead? If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith, so do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity towards those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off, and even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For God has the power to graft them in again, for if you were cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted in, contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back in their own olive tree? So we, as the nations, were grafted in to believing Israel. We were made a part of the promises that were given to Israel. But we need to heed the warning. As Israel did not remain faithful to Yahweh, and they rejected Yeshua as their Messiah, and because of that, their branches were broken off of the tree. So we have been grafted in, but do not let pride cause you to no longer remain steadfast. Because if you do not remain steadfast, you could find yourself as Israel, cut off, because you forsake him as well. So cling to him and stay faithful to him. To the ones who stay faithful, to the ones who cling to him, to those will be grafted into the tree. To those will be the ones who will be as Rachel and Leah. So look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you all are one in Messiah Yeshua. And if you are Messiah's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. The promise is to Abraham's offspring. Abraham's offspring is not based upon whether or not you're a Jew or not a Jew. It's based upon whether or not you are in Messiah. Doesn't matter if you are of the nations. Doesn't matter if you are Jewish. Doesn't matter if you are a male or a female. What matters is that we are found in Messiah Yeshua, that we believe in him as our Messiah, that we have been cleansed by his blood, and we are clinging unto him, that we are walking faithfully with him and steadfast with him. That is what matters. It is to those who believe in Yeshua and are showing fruits of repentance that are called the sons of Abraham. So look at Romans chapter 9 and verse 6. But it is not as though the word of God has failed. For not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham, because they are his offspring. But through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. We need to be found to be children of God, children of the promise. What is the promise? There's a couple of things that we can see that was promised. Number one, we had the promise of the coming Messiah in Yeshua, that he would come and he would die upon that cross for our sins. And by his blood, we would have forgiveness of sins. And then he promised his Holy Spirit, and that he would pour out his Spirit upon us, and that his Spirit would teach us, help us, guide us, and empower us. And by his Spirit, we're able to cling unto Yeshua. And by his Spirit, we're able to walk in steadfastness and faithfulness with Yeshua. So it's the children of the promise. It's those who walk according to the Spirit. It's not about what this fleshly body has. It's not about being a Jew. It's not about being a Greek or a Gentile or the nations. It's all determined upon one thing and one thing only. Are you a child of the promise? Do you believe that Yeshua is the Messiah? Have you been filled with his Spirit, and are you walking according to the Spirit instead of according to the flesh? Who are you clinging to? Are you clinging to your flesh, or are you clinging to God's law? Because our flesh is at war against God's law. Our flesh has no desire to submit itself to God's law. It resists it at every moment it can. It desires to do its own thing. It seeks out the pleasures of sin. So are you clinging to your flesh, the desires of your flesh, giving in to the desires of your flesh? Or are you clinging to his righteousness? Are you clinging to his law? Do you desire to walk in his law, to walk in obedience, to be a living sacrifice unto him, to bring unto him that which is pleasing unto him? Or do you desire to satisfy the wants of your body? Who are you clinging to? Paul says, cling to that which is good and abhor that which is evil. Hate that which is evil and depart from that which is evil. Ruth departed from the evilness of her land, the evil gods of her land, and she embraced the God of Abraham and Isaac. And in her lineage, we find King David. He has a purpose for each and every single one of us. If we can learn the lesson from Ruth and the lesson from Elisha, leave behind that which is evil. Leave behind the past, leave behind the desires of the flesh, and cling to his righteousness. Cling to his law. Well, hallelujah. I hope this message has blessed you this week. We will be back again next week with the next teaching. So come back now, and shalom, y'all.